Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Born on America's darkest day of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays the mortgage on the family home to lift the financial burden. For severely injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. Through the Foundation's Homeless Veteran Program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless veterans. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. Because all veterans who honorably served, whether in peacetime or war, deserve our nation's gratitude. People who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Monday, October 10th edition of the program. We have New York City's mayor declaring an emergency, not over the crime that is destroying this city, but because of illegal migrants in the shelter system. Interesting. You also have a shooting outside of gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin of New York's home. The Nike co-founder giving $1 million to the Republican contender for the governor's mansion in Oregon because they've messed up, the libs have messed up that state so much. Plus, a bridge in Ukraine hit with a truck bombing that has led to a major escalation in Ukraine. Big missile strikes coming from Russians against Ukrainian cities. And then, of course, happy Columbus Day, everybody, because it's Columbus Day. We're going to dive into all of that in just a moment. There is no sign of identity theft slowing down. There's so much identity theft out there these days. You know it. I know it happens all the time. It's happened to me. I've been a victim of identity theft before. People have taken out credit cards, run them up in my name. Someone actually ran up $1,000 on a cable company account in my name. Wasn't me. And then they shut it off, but then I get stuck with it. It's on my credit report. But you know what ended up happening? I got notified of this problem so I could fix it with the help of a restoration specialist at LifeLock. LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself by monitoring your identity, alerting you to threats, and helping you if you become a victim of identity theft. Now, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. Save up to 25% off your first year by going to LifeLock.com/buck. That's LifeLock.com/BUCK for 25% off LifeLock.com/buck. You got to have this. I mean, it's a thing that you need to have if you're going to be doing anything online, which all of us have to. So trust me on this one. All right. So here's Mayor Eric Adams declaring a state of emergency because of migrants overburdening the shelter system here. Watch.
New York City now has more than 61,000 people in our shelter system. That includes thousands of New Yorkers experiencing homelessness and thousands of asylum seekers who have been bused in over the past few months from other parts of the country. Today, I am declaring a state of emergency in the city of New York and issuing an executive order. This executive order will formally direct all relevant agencies to coordinate their efforts to construct the humanitarian relief centers. We are also suspending certain land use requirements to expedite this process.
Oh, that's going to fix everything. This mayor is incompetent. This mayor has not turned the crime situation around, which is the single biggest issue facing New York City right now. It is driving for the midterms. More panic among Democrats is because of them getting finally hammered on the crime issue than really anything else. Yeah, the economy's bad, but they blame, you know, other people. It's not our fault. Oh, I'm just running for Congress. I'm just going to be a senator. The economy's not my fault. The crime issue, though, Democrats are still on the wrong side of it. That's the thing. Democrats are still acting like this will be made better in some way. This could be improved if only we had more training for police officers on de-escalation or some other such abject nonsense. So there's so much out there right now on the crime issue that is hitting home for people. As I said, Lee Zeldin, he's running against Kathy Hochul in New York. He's a congressman right now. There was a shooting. Two people shot each other right outside of his home in Long Island. This is the same guy who had some maniac come up and sort of threaten him with a sharp object on stage at one of his rallies. The crime issue is just out of control. We all know it. We all understand that this is because of bad policies, bad decision making from Democrats. And it just keeps going unless they're held accountable, unless they're held responsible for it. It will not stop unless we make it stop by taking power away from these lunatics. I mean, there were three people killed in the New York City subway system in the last 10 days. That's just the subway system, mind you. Three people killed. And you sit here, you say, when you look at the number of assaults, the number of muggings, thefts, indecent exposures, I mean, all this stuff that's happening on the subway system, you know, groping, sexual assault, all of this, people don't want to take the subway anymore. I don't want to take the subway anymore. And I'm a 200-pound, maybe more like 210 these days, male. And I don't want to take the subway because who wants to be subjected to any of that? And you know that the people that are doing it, they're not really going to be punished. It's not that complicated when you get down to it. You need law and order. You need a system that protects the law-abiding and punishes those who break laws. And Democrats are just on the wrong side of this issue in every respect and need to be held to account for it, or else nothing really will change. This is what I have to understand. They still believe the criminal justice system is racist. They still believe that there is some way that this is all about cops, or this is all about white supremacy, the threat of the insurrection, Trump. I mean, they just anything other than the reality of crime in America today and how it's out of control. Even Nike co-founder Phil Knight, for example, has contributed $1 million to Republican gubernatorial candidate Christine Drazen of Oregon because the libs, the Democrats in the state of Oregon, have ruined that state. They have, not the whole state. There's nice parts of it, obviously. But, I mean, the cities are a mess. Portland had 1,000 shootings last year. 1,000. It's only 365 days in a year. And just the rampant homelessness, drug use, theft, all kinds of crime surging there. People shouldn't be subjected to this, especially in Democrat jurisdictions like New York, where they disarm the law abiding. You know, you're not allowed to defend yourself. You're not allowed to protect yourself. It's outrageous. It's outrageous, honestly. And this is why this guy Knight has donated $1 million, because he's trying to help. You need a Republican governor like Drazen in Oregon to back the state police and state authorities to give further backing to the city authorities and police so that there can finally be a change here, a substantial change in the trajectory of the safety situation in that country. So crime is a huge issue. Oh, I didn't even mention this. There was an illegal alien in Las Vegas who stabbed, I think it was 8 people, murdered 2 of them at noon outside the Wynn. This was just on Friday, outside the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas. Here is Fox News's Matt Finn on this individual who also had a criminal record on top of being here illegally.
The stabbing suspect is 32-year-old Yoni Barrios, a Guatemalan national who does have a criminal record here in California. Police say Barrios stabbed 8 people near the Wynn Hotel on the Las Vegas Strip around lunchtime yesterday. A 47-year-old and a 30-year-old Las Vegas resident died. Barrios is expected to be charged Tuesday with 2 counts of murder and 6 counts of attempted murder with a weapon identified as a 12-inch kitchen knife. The Clark County District Attorney says regardless of Barrios' residency, they might seek the death penalty.
This guy's in the country illegally. He has a criminal background. He starts murdering people with a knife because he wanted to take photos with some showgirls and they weren't taking the photo with him, so he started stabbing people with a kitchen knife. Murdered 2 people right there. To the families of those 2 individuals who were murdered, in addition to the people who were stabbed, some of them I'm sure had serious wounds from it. To the families of those people, you would say, what if you're the federal government, the Biden administration? They want illegals in the country, millions and millions of them. There should be no illegals in the country under the law. And the Democrats just ignore the parts of the law, like immigration law, that are inconvenient for them. That's the reality of this. This is what we see playing out all the time. And just understand that it all ties in together. The cartels who are making, here I actually have the statistic. This is from the government over the weekend. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security reports that the Mexican cartel's income from smuggling illegal migrants into America has soared from $500 million in 2018 to $13 billion, which is up 2,500%. $13 billion. I mean, these are the drug cartels off of human smuggling alone. That is not including the drug trade. Off of human smuggling, they are operating like a major multinational corporation in terms of their profits. And they're not paying taxes on that, friends. That's cash, obviously. So these guys are bloodthirsty. They have tremendous power. These cartels have tremendous power in Mexico, and they are flooding our streets all across the country with more fentanyl, which creates violence within the drug trade, drug dealers killing other drug dealers robbing other drug dealers, people robbing just everyday civilians. So they have money to buy the drugs that they're becoming addicted to because there's so much fentanyl, because there's so many of these drugs on the streets. It's a terrible circumstance, and a secure border would do so much to alleviate this. And people say, oh, well, the border's never going to be perfectly secure. Okay, not a wide open border. How about that? Why don't we see if we could secure it 50% more than it currently is? Bring down illegal crossings. Bring down the amount of migrant. Well, they won't bring it down, though. They view this, the Democrats view this as illegal immigrants from the third world are future Democrat voters. Therefore, we want as many of them as possible. That is the Democrats' stated policy. They say this. They've said this in the open. It's clear from their policies. This is their belief. It's a mess. All right. Ukraine's not something I spend a ton of time talking to you about because this is a war between 2 countries that are not the United States. I think that's a very important first place to start the conversation. This is a war between 2 nations that are not the United States of America. Now, we have picked a side, obviously, with Ukraine. We're funding their war, and we're giving weapons and munitions to Ukraine so that they can continue on. And they've had some battlefield successes, some pretty considerable ones in recent weeks. You add to this the bridge that was just hit over the weekend, and things are becoming more combustible. Things are becoming more the greater possibility here of nuclear war is something that we cannot skip beyond. We have to take this as a serious unfortunately, is a serious chance. Here's what happened. There's about a 12-mile-long bridge that connects the Russian Federation to the Crimean Peninsula. And this bridge was built at the cost of billions of dollars after Russia annexed Crimea to connect mainland Russia to the Crimean Peninsula. It's the primary means of getting all materiel, including military materiel, to the Crimean Peninsula. The Ukrainians, they haven't officially taken responsibility. Everybody assumes it's them. The Ukrainians had a truck bomb go off on this bridge, and it incapacitated one part of it. I think it's the sort of two legs of the bridge, if you will. One part of it was incapacitated for a while. I think they've now fixed. The other one has traffic going. But this is a critical infrastructure point, and so the Russians are pissed. Okay, the Russians are angry about this, even in the midst of a major war where there's casualties, high levels of casualties on both sides. This one makes Putin even more agitated, because it could have effectively cut off Crimea from land reinforcement from the Russian Federation. And it's a huge black eye for the Russian war effort that this could even get to the point where they're trying to blow up this bridge. It cost billions of dollars. Now, the Russians are firing off conventional missiles into Ukrainian cities and just trying to wreak havoc, civilian casualties, kill people. That's what's going on. I would say this about this circumstance, about this situation. People are taking sides in this like it's a sporting event. It's not a sporting event, okay? It's not, oh, you're pro-Ukraine, anti-Ukraine. No. In America, we start from a principle of what's best for America, what's best for the American people here. That's actually what matters to me most. And I know that right now that's not fashionable in some lib circles who think that we should all be ready to go and lay our lives down for Ukraine. I am not. The Ukrainian people would not lay their lives down for me and my fellow Americans. If we were invaded by China, I can assure you the Kyiv brigades would not be showing up in force on our shores trying to help repel the Chinese invasion. They'd be saying, you guys are on your own. It's the nature of the world. I live in the real world. I live in reality. So the Ukrainian fight, while we can see some strategic advantage in pushing back against Russia and in preventing all of Ukraine from falling into Russian hands, there are limits to this, right? There are limits to how much we should be willing to back them. By the way, that's been established. We're not doing a no-fly zone. Remember they're talking about that? We didn't give them F-18s. Remember they were talking about that? We certainly didn't land U.S. troops or military personnel to actively fight there. We have had some Americans choose of their own volition to go over there and volunteer and fight. But so there's already limits. So this false binary of, oh, you're a Putin stooge, because no. This is about where we fall within the realm of more or less assistance, more or less action as it pertains to Ukraine from the U.S. side of things. And if you have a Russian government right now that is clearly highly volatile, I was going to say fissile, given nukes, that we should probably avoid that word, volatile situation right now with the Russian government, with Putin specifically, because they're losing. And we can all see that. Now, they're not losing necessarily overall in the war, although if you're not winning in war generally, you are losing. They've lost some territory. And the Russians have claimed this part of eastern and southern Ukraine, the Donbas region. They've claimed this so that they can say it's part of the Russian Federation. Now, we say, well, that's not a valid referendum, but they claim it is. And so if the Ukrainian forces go deep into those areas of Ukraine now that have been seized by Russia, that they now say are part of Russian territory, what is the response of Vladimir Putin going to be? There is the very real possibility that he will decide, in order to save the lives of Russian soldiers who are in these areas, or just to set a marker to say, you know, back off. This becomes a nuclear line in the sand, if you will. You fire a tactical nuke and the Ukrainians take substantial casualties, they get hit with that. And you say, you guys stop your advance or we fire another one, and we fire another one. Now, what does that mean for the world? What does the U.S. do in response? I don't think anybody has a particularly clear handle on that. I don't think anybody does. And so it's in that framework that we have to sit here and say, hold on a second, what are the limitations? What are the limitations of our willingness to continue in this without the Biden administration establishing what the end goal is here? It seems to me that their end goal, that the West's end goal is not even just taking it back to the de facto borders of Ukraine and Russia to in 2021, right? 2022, the war started in January. So the pre-Russian invasion, it seems that the goal now is to kick all Russians out of eastern Ukraine entirely. And I think that that might trigger a nuclear response from Russia. They may just, Ukraine matters deeply in the Russian psyche. This is a big issue for them, much bigger than it is for us. And we just don't want to be in a world where we wake up and we hear reports of a Russian nuclear detonation in Ukraine. And that's a scary place, friends. This goes, no one has ever in existence, no one has ever handled the response to that. And I'm not even trying to just do the obvious analysis here. If Joe Biden's in charge, everybody, he's a commander in chief. Does that make you feel good? You think that's going to work out well for us? Really hard decisions to be made, really tough stuff. You've got a guy who on his best days is a dumbass and his best days are about 30 years behind him. That's who's running the country right now. That is the commander in chief of the United States military who would be calling upon some kind of military response from our side, most likely, if that happened. And my friends, things get very ugly very quickly. Just a note, I live near the Columbus statue in Columbus Circle in New York City. And so there's usually this big police presence there because they're afraid the lunatic activists will try to spray paint it or anything else. You know, one thing that I find remarkable about this is with Columbus, you have a celebration of an achievement. That's what Columbus Day is, a celebration of an achievement that changed the world, right? Changed the world. And I would argue changed the world for the better, for the advancement of humanity, science, technology, people not dying of hunger, people, you know, it created the groundwork for the modern world that we live in, which now has obviously dramatically expanded life expectancy and people are living more comfortably and longer than ever before. All of the good things that have happened, it set the framework or set the stage for the explosion of global wealth that has occurred in the last 500 years. I mean, really, there's been more wealth actually created in the last 100 years than really in all of human history before that. But you look at where this all got, the connection of the world that occurred because of the discovery of the New World by the European powers was enormously important. And that is something you can celebrate. Now, I know that there's this Indigenous Peoples Day that they're trying to have on the same day, right? They're saying, well, now we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. Okay, I mean, I pose the question, what is there an achievement? Just the existence of Indigenous peoples? Is that what the day is supposed to signify? Well, okay, but why can't it be on another day? Ah, because this, like everything else, has to be about tearing down the West, tearing down Western civilization, tearing down Judeo-Christian civilization, the achievements of the West, the achievements of Europe and America. You know, there wasn't, from a civilizational standpoint, there wasn't that much going on in the New World when Columbus arrived. So there were a lot of benefits that came along with this, too. I know we're not supposed to talk about this, but it's true. A lot of benefits. Human history is full of invasion and conquest and a lot of bloodshed. The very, very late 15th, early 16th century was no exception to that. So yes, there's bad stuff that happened. There's always going to be bad stuff that happens when you look at history from the lens of today. But getting on a couple of small ships, making your way across the Atlantic, changing the history of the world, it's a pretty big deal, I think. I think it's a pretty big deal. So happy Columbus Day to all of you. Talk to you tomorrow. Shields high.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. Hero first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country. Those who die in the line of duty or are catastrophically injured. Veterans who fought for our nation's freedom only to return home, fall on tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo, New York firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes. The families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young children, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.